to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to tonight's third and final hour of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. I am your host, James Edwards, and I'm broadcasting to you tonight from Memphis, Tennessee, and our flagship radio station inside our studio at AM 1380 WLRM in downtown Memphis, not too far from the final resting place of General Nathan Bedford Forrest. We're also broadcasting to our AM-FM affiliate stations on the Liberty News Radio Network and our newest affiliate, AM 1600 WMQM. Simulcasting online around the world to the internet audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. Want to thank my contributors this evening. First of all, my co-host Keith Alexander for his talents during the first hour, and then, of course, to our featured guest of the night, Richard Spencer of AlternativeRight.com, who was with me for the duration of the second hour this evening as we discussed Osama bin Laden and the royal wedding. If you missed tonight's second hour, if you're just tuning in, remember to check it out in the broadcast archive. It's live radio. When you get a tongue twister, it comes out. Remember to check it out in the broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org upon the conclusion of tonight's show. That being said, it's just going to be me and you, a little one-on-one time with the audience tonight. I have a lot of stories I want to bring to your attention, and I don't want to waste a minute in doing so. We were wrapping up the conversation with Richard Spencer in discussing an article that appeared in the New York Post about the royal wedding. What the Jewish columnist opined was that, and I quote, "It was bigger than the Super Bowl and tacky as a legion of Elvis impersonators. Most of all, it was disturbingly white. The pomp and ridiculousness then spilled to the streets. Brits in T-shirts and jeans gathered for days to catch a glimpse of the white folks riding to Buckingham Palace." Okay, so you know that this columnist would never dare describe an important affair in Israel, for instance, as being disturbingly Jewish, nor would anyone else, because they'd lose their job the same day. There's nothing wrong with an all-Jewish affair, in their opinion, or in mine. There's nothing wrong with an all-black affair or an all-Mexican affair. And there's nothing wrong with an all-white affair, except for that's where the mainstream media and I disagree, or my colleagues in the mainstream media would disagree with me. They say it's only the all-white gatherings and groups that are disturbing, and that is just yet another one of the classic double standards that we dissect and tear apart here every week on the Political Cesspool radio program, where we discuss race, politics, and hypocrisy in 21st century America. I mentioned I have a lot of stories to bring to you this hour, so hold on, buckle up, here we go. Wrote an article, a short blurb to the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, earlier this week entitled, "When Would This Garbage Ever End?" The lady, you got to check it out. It was posted on May 2nd, and according to a television affiliate in California, they're going to give you the exclusive scoop on the latest quote-unquote crisis in America. And here's what it is. Some people found an obsolete name for a mountain on a few dozen gravestones for unknown people, and they are demanding that the government do something about this outrage. If you couldn't quite follow what the problem was there, it's because, well, first of all, there is no problem. They're manufacturing the problem, as they do more oftentimes than not. We have hundreds of dead from tornadoes in the South, tens of thousands injured or homeless from the storms and subsequent flooding. The country's bankrupt. The dollar's on its last legs. America is bogged down in two unwinnable wars and desperately trying to start a third. And this is what people in the media are worried about? Well, it comes out of El Dorado County, California, and this is what the story reads. "Nowhere in America's openly racist past more obvious than in Gold Rush era cemetery that straddles the Sacramento-El Dorado County line. The Mormon Island Relocation Cemetery was created in 1954 because the construction of nearby Folsom Dam would soon inundate pioneer cemeteries along the American River. Among the many headstones at the Relocation Cemetery are 36 plain markers identifying the final resting place of 36 African-American pioneers who were originally buried in a community called Negro Hill. That's what the story reads. So basically, if you can't follow, here is what's going on. A local activist wants the government to remove the inscriptions and replace it with one that's politically correct. But that would set a horrible precedent, in my opinion, because if we do that, then we're going to have to sandblast and update thousands of historical markers across America every 10 years or so, because that's about how often colored people, blacks, African Americans, change their name and insist that everyone immediately start using the new name or be branded a racist. So, again, just to put all this in sharp focus, we've got a devastating series of storms that have ravaged the South. The country's bankrupt. The dollar is collapsing. America is bogged down in two unwinnable wars, and people in California are worried over the fact that on 36 gravestones on a forgotten cemetery on a mountain that no one had explored in decades, the word Negro is on the tombstones. That's what they're worried about. They want the government to go in there and sandblast these forgotten markers of forgotten people that people didn't even know their names, because, by God, that's what's important, at least according to Channel 10 out there in El Dorado County, California. Conservatives are still swooning over Harry Alford. Conservative talk show host Laura Ingraham gave Harry Alford, the head of the National Black Chamber of Commerce, thousands of dollars in free advertising last week because he called Obama a Nazi, saying they might as well start getting out the swastikas and brown shirts. I gather he's disappointed with some of Obama's recent decisions, but he's too inarticulate to even formulate an argument and thus resorts to an imbecilic claim that Obama is a Nazi. Conservatives like Ingraham love people like Alford who will come on and do their step and fetch it act because they think it immunizes them from charges of racism, which is no doubt one of the reasons Ingraham adopted a black baby recently, but I digress. Anyway, it's disgraceful that conservatives are even willing to mention Harry Alford's name these days. They went gaga over him 2 years ago because he got into a verbal battle with Barbara Boxer and accused her of playing the race card. He was the great conservative black hope for a week. We got to take a break, and I'll tell you the rest of the story right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, right before that last break, my friends, I was talking to you about how conservatives, or so-called conservatives, of course, are still swooning over the black token, Harry Alford, who, as I just mentioned, recently was featured on the Laura Ingraham show because he called Obama a Nazi, basically because he couldn't form a more articulate argument. And the reason that conservatives like Ingraham love people like Alford is because they think it immunizes them from charges of racism. Anyway, as I was getting into, he also got into a verbal battle with Barbara Boxer a couple of years ago, and he was the great conservative Black Hope for a week until I posted what Harry Alford actually believes. And then they got strangely quiet. And you can visit all this or revisit it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. This is another entry that I posted this week on the blog. But anyway, I posted what Harry Alford actually believes. Everyone got strangely quiet, which is understandable because Alford is a white-hating lunatic leftist of the first order who rants and raves about racism being to blame for just about everything, thinks people like Ronald Reagan are modern-day Nathan Bedford Forrests, and says anyone who opposes affirmative action is on the same level as a member of the KKK. This is what he says. Yet he's being presented on the Laura Ingraham show as a genuine article of Black conservatism, as if it existed. He praised the thousands of people who turned out to a rally on behalf of the Jena 6 thugs, claims his cousin is Kevin James, a Muslim guilty of plotting to blow up military bases in America, was a poor, innocent Black man framed by the racists in the Bush Justice Department, who will make up any excuse to arrest an innocent Black man. He now says Obama is a Nazi, though, but back then wrote that God himself had sent us Obama to be president. And back then, until my article came out, conservatives were begging Harry Alford to run for office. Again, you can revisit all of this. The political cesspool is on top of things before anyone else when it comes to our signature issues of race, politics, and hypocrisy in 21st century America. This is the stuff, you know, we always scoop these other guys. And that's why I think that we generate so much publicity for ourselves. But you can read it all, you can revisit it all, if you missed it, by going to our blog. And even if you've read it already, it's worth another look just to remind yourself about how phony most Black conservatives are and how white conservatives are so desperate to find their own Obama that they'll endorse any and every Black person that comes along and says anything remotely conservative sounding, no matter what they actually stand for. And that, again, ladies and gentlemen, is just one of the many things that separates the Political Cesspool radio program and our message of true, authentic paleoconservatism with the hacks like Hannity and Ingraham, and yes, to a great extent, Rush Limbaugh himself. This is why you listen to our show with a breath of fresh air, the likes of which you're not going to find on any other network on mainstream radio today. What else is going on out there? I told you we had a lot of stories to cover this hour, and I mean to do it. Delta Airlines is going to catch some hell. If you turned on the television at all last week, as we were discussing with Richard Spencer in the previous hour, you've undoubtedly been subjected to 24/7 propaganda about the death of Osama bin Laden. With the media fanning the flames of mass hysteria, some normal people, like, you know, airline pilots, are going to understandably react with a little hesitation when Muslim clerics, who are fully decked out in their costumes, attempt to board a flight. Now, according to the media, there's nothing wrong with the lemming-like Go USA chants in reaction to the news of bin Laden's death, as long as that misplaced fervor can be used to get us into another unwinnable war. Killing Muslims overseas is all well and good, but God forbid we offend a Muslim here at home. And this is the story that originated right here in Memphis, Tennessee, as delivered by our daily rag, The Commercial Appeal. And it reads as such. Two Muslim clerics traveling to a religious conference were kicked off, of a Delta Airlines flight at Memphis International Airport yesterday on orders from a pilot. It mentions that the two imams, who are members of the Muslim Society of Memphis, were subjected to extra security screening at the gate. I mean, again, God forbid, then barred from the flight. The men cleared security at the Transportation Security Administration checkpoint and boarded their plane. They were screened and cleared to fly, a TSA spokesman said. The decision to deny boarding was made by the airline, not TSA. Jarek Beam, spokesman for the Atlantic Southeast Airlines, the Delta connection carrier that was operating the flight, said the incident was under investigation, that the airline regretted any inconvenience to the Muslims, and that the airlines takes passenger security very seriously. He would not comment, though, on the specifics of the case. The men, who were dressed in traditional Muslim cleric garb, including skull caps, were traveling to the North American Islamic Jurisprudence Council in Charlotte. The plane left the gate, then returned, and the clerics were ordered to get off. Delta was apologetic for the pilot's actions and put the clerics on a later flight. They arrived, though, too late for prayer and the conference's opening activities. I don't know what kind of pilot he was. I don't know his mentality, said one of the Muslims. I think some actions should be taken so this won't happen with other people, any religion, any person, any professional. It's something ridiculous, the Indian-born imam said. It doesn't happen in any country, especially a civilized society. Another Muslim who claims to be the spokesman for the Council on American Islamic Relations said the men called the council after the incident, and, you know, God knows they did. He said that his group would review the incident to see if further action is warranted. So again, just to break it all down, what I just read, and I read to you the entire story. You got two Muslims in the midst of all this fanning of the flames of the Osama bin Laden nonsense out there. They show up in their costumes. They do something on the airplane after it leaves the gate, and they're ordered off. We don't know what they did. And then Delta apologizes. You know, you got these Islamic organizations riding to the sound of the guns, condemning the airline, condemning America, condemning everything, claiming that this shouldn't happen in a civilized society, as if they would even know what that is. So anyway, on one hand, we're essentially told to hate Muslims and that they're the face of terror. Well, on the other, we're supposed to pretend that they're just like everyone else if and only if they're here in America. Now, don't get me wrong. Islam is alien to the West, and Muslims are no friends of ours. As far as this story goes, I certainly wouldn't feel entirely comfortable sitting next to one at 30,000 feet, and I fully support the pilots in their decision here. How are they supposed to keep the rules of political correctness straight and fly an airplane all at the same time? That being said, though, I can probably go ahead and tell you how it's going to play out. Number one, Delta is going to grovel, and they're going to offer the offended and righteous non-whites some free flights and other assorted goodies. And the pilots, who were almost certainly white, as almost all pilots are going to be punished for using common sense judgment. So that's the story here. And it was front page news. I went to Walgreens on my way down to the radio station tonight. This was the front page news of today's commercial appeal. Above the fold, two Muslims asked to get off an airplane. You know, stuff like that happens every single day. People are asked to leave airplanes for whatever reason or for no reason at all. But because it's Muslims, or non-whites in other words, it's front page news story. But once again, as someone commented on the blog, Muslims can have organizations that represent their interests, but whites can't. I'm going to take a break. We got more coming your way right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out
of this place. All right, everybody. Want to take a second after covering that story about Delta Airlines and give you a couple of announcements. First of all, and I can't go into too much detail about this, but I was contacted by a representative of a major movie studio in Hollywood. Don't get too excited yet. They're not making a movie about the political cesspool story, unfortunately. But the news is still pretty exciting, and you'll be giving full details and information in the very near future if you stay tuned to our website. But the Political Cesspool Radio program will be working in cooperation with a major movie studio on a project of mutual interest. And they solicited the help from our program, and under the circumstances, we were happy to give it. And so again, it's exciting news. Can't give you the full scoop yet, but stay tuned to thepoliticalcesspool.org, and word will be given to you in the very, very near future, hopefully before next week's show. Now, also, we here at the Political Cesspool are announcing a special 72-hour promotional sale. That means we are introducing a limited-time offer that expires at 12 a.m. on Tuesday, May 10th, so you've got to act now. Basically, what's going on is this. If you go to our website right now, and you've got to act fast, go to our website right now, thepoliticalcesspool.org, thepoliticalcesspool.org. There at the very top of the blog roll, the very top story featured mentions our 72-hour sale. In return for a $27 donation to our groundbreaking work, we're offering you an out-of-stock classic comic book called The Democrats, We Want to Raise Your Children. But that's not all. Contribute before Tuesday, May 10th, and we're going to include a bonus copy of my critically acclaimed book, Racism Schmacism, at no additional charge. You can get both this underground classic, The Democrats, We Want to Raise Your Children, and my book today if you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and make that donation. And you can order those copies by visiting that link that features the information about this special promotion. Remember, though, that this offer goes off the table at 12 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday. So you got to visit the website now to place your order online safely and securely. Your contributions will, of course, help keep our show on the air, and you'll be getting two great books back in return. Again, limited time offer expires Tuesday, so act now. Going back to the news and staying in Tennessee, my home state provides us with a little bit of good news as we start our weekends. Tennessee advances the Don't Say Gay bill, and this is what it's all about. A bill that would prohibit teachers from discussing homosexuality in the classroom before the ninth grade has advanced in Tennessee's Senate. Now, that is actually the only bad part about the bill. Homosexuality shouldn't be discussed ever. From college to grad school, kindergarten, and on. This bill, a little watered down for my taste, but anyway, it's better than nothing. It's sponsored by State Senator Stacey Canfield, who unsuccessfully pushed the same measure for 6 years while serving in the House. The so-called Don't Say Gay bill would make it illegal for educators to discuss any sexual behavior apart from heterosexuality with students in kindergarten up through the eighth grade. Members of the Tennessee Equality Project, you know that sounds like trouble, a local so-called gay rights organization which actively opposes the legislation, worries that its passage would alienate certain children. And this is what they say. Listen to how ridiculous. It means students and teachers can't talk about gay issues or sexuality, even with students who may be gay. I'm sorry. A first grader isn't going to be talking about homosexuality with his teacher. This bill, again, only limits the teachers from discussing homosexuality through the ninth grade. I don't know how many second and third graders are engaging in homosexual lifestyles, but again, this is what you get out of perverted and disgusting organizations like the Tennessee Equality Project. Supporters, on the other hand, tout the importance of age-appropriate curriculum, politically correct nonsense, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so anyway, that's what's going on. Again, I think it's funny to read that the sodomites are apparently afraid that gay first graders won't be able to talk it out. I am of the opinion, just to digress just a little bit here, I am of the strong opinion that many homosexuals make a conscious decision to engage in that lifestyle regardless of what Lady Gaga says. It's immoral. It's biologically unnatural. And it stands to reason that evolution would have corrected a genetic flaw that would lead to the inability to reproduce. That being said, I'm sure that there are some people who are underdeveloped to such an extent that they feel as though they were in fact born this way. For every rule, there are the exceptions. Either way, this sort of behavior shouldn't be mentioned in classrooms as if it were normal or healthy, because it isn't. The American Psychiatric Association was right to have once listed homosexuality as a mental illness. It was officially declassified as a mental illness in 1973, and that was the only mistake, just as the only mistake, again, in this proposed bill is to allow sodomy to be presented to high school students when it shouldn't be mentioned at all. Tennessee Don't Say Gay Bill. Looks like it's going to pass. By the way, if you go to our website and read this article for yourself, you will see that for everyone, kids and grown-ups alike, I have included an example of what a normal family looks like. A normal family, as in heterosexual. I've included a picture of a normal family. You'll notice that the set of parents include a man and a woman. Imagine that. Well, freedom, as we have been mentioning tonight, is a recurring theme in the program. Freedom is dying fast in the West as we mindlessly cheer the Osama bin Laden story. We ignore the fact that Western countries, our freedoms are being taken away. 3 years ago in Canada, a fat lesbian couple at a comedy show was openly making out with each other and heckling the comedian. When the comic, who was called Guy Earl, told them to shut up so the people could hear his jokes, they got into a shouting match, and he called one of them a fat lesbian. Well, that's what they were. He also used some bad language, so one of them sued him, and a Canadian human rights tribunal has now ordered him to pay the fat lesbian $15,000 for calling her a fat lesbian, which violated her human rights. In addition, the club owner was ordered to pay her nearly $8,000. So that's going to buy her a lot of food, $23K. $23,000. That would fund the political cesspool for a full year. That would meet our budgetary requirements, keep us on the air without having to ask for a single donation for a year. And she gets that in a day because she was called exactly what she is, a fat lesbian. How is that even remotely offensive to her, much less a violation of her human rights so egregiously that she suffered $23,000 worth of pain and suffering? She's fat and she's a lesbian. Those aren't even derogatory words. Never mind that this was a comedy show where this sort of thing goes on all the time, and hoping to see a verbal battle between a comic and a heckler is often part of the attraction. Never mind that the lesbians started it by talking loudly and making out during a show. Never mind that the woman who sued threw a glass bottle at the comedian but has never been charged with assault. That's all bad enough, but what's really amazing is that so few comedians have come to Guy Earl's defense. A whole lot of them, even some of the bigger names in the Canadian comedy community, say he had it coming for being homophobic. It never ceases to amaze me how people can so readily applaud their own destruction. There are too many good stories about this to pass them all on, but just Google Guy Earl and read about it for yourself. I'm going to take a break. We'll be back with more covering the issues you'll only hear on the Political Cesspool Radio Program.
The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl,
there's a better life for me.
If I didn't tell him, I didn't. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Final segment of tonight's live broadcast is now upon us. Thank you for being with me tonight as I present to you another live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. Keep in mind, and I mentioned it at the top of the last segment, we are pushing this special 72-hour promotional sale that ends promptly at 12 o'clock midnight on Tuesday in return for a $27 donation to our radio program, which will help keep us on the air. You'll get two great books, Democrats Want to Raise Your Children, and my critically acclaimed book, Racism Schmacism. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, consult with the blog entry featured at the top of our blog roll this evening, and you'll get all the information you need to have about the offer and how to place your order. We need your help and appreciate you responding in kind. I was talking to you just a moment ago about how a comedian in Canada was sued by a lesbian couple, and a Canadian human rights tribunal has ordered him to pay her $15,000 for referring to her as a fat lesbian, which, of course, she was. This is just one of many examples you can find any day of how freedom is dying fast in the West, and it will continue to die unless people follow our lead and start speaking out and advancing our ideas in the court of public opinion without retreat, surrender, or apology. As I said, examples like this one I've shown you in Canada are a dime a dozen. You can find them every day. They would litter the blog if we did nothing but post them. We wouldn't have enough space. But I'll give you a couple of more examples. In England, a musician at a bar was arrested for singing the song Kung Fu Fighting after a Chinaman who was passing by heard it and called the police. Keep in mind, Kung Fu Fighting is a very classic oldie. He was singing it in a bar. Chinaman was passing by, heard it, and called the police. The singer was arrested. This is not a joke. This is not a joke. He was arrested and is now under investigation for racism by the local cops over there in England. I've got other examples of the insanity in my May 3rd blog entry titled Freedom Dying Fast in the West. Here in America, we gave you an example from Canada and in England. Here in America, Reverend Terry Jones is being harassed for exercising his free speech by burning a Koran. He was recently arrested in Dearborn, Michigan, which is about a third Muslim, for breaching the peace, whatever that means, which what it really means is that he wanted to have a rally that Muslims didn't approve of. And if cops hadn't have been there, the mob probably would have killed him. But who cares? We got Osama bin Laden. Go USA. You know, we really want people to visit the website and comment on these blog entries, but much more than just doing that, we want you to spread them to your friends and family members by email list. Put them onto Facebook. Spread the word. You know, we work hard not just to present you an award-winning radio show each Saturday night that continues to garner global celebrity and publicity, but we work during the week in between our Saturday Night Live programs to keep the blog up to date with stories of interest to our audience. And we want you to take these stories and spread them, because I think the kind of commentary that we're giving these stories is certainly, to say the least, the kind of commentary that they're not going to get anywhere else, at least on any mainstream legitimate broadcast. I was watching the continuing saga in the NFL. It looks like they are locked out. Maybe they'll lose a season. God, I hope so. You know, the NBA is going to have a lockout, too. The NBA last implemented a lockout back in 1998. I'm always on the side of the owners when it comes to one of these sports ta-ta-tas between the owners and the players. It is not because the owners are white and the players are overwhelmingly black. It's because in every case, the owners are successful businessmen or were successful businessmen before they bought their respective sport franchises. They made their money legitimately off of hard work. And they bought the team as a hobby. It's basically what billionaires do as a hobby. They own a sports team. It's not what they do for profit. So the owners are already made. They accomplished something in life that these players would never be able to do. So when it comes time for billionaires and millionaires to quabble, I'm on the side of the billionaires because they did something with their lives. And if football were to never play again, if NFL football were to never have another game, these owners would be just fine. What do these players have to complain about? I mean, yeah, you've heard all the stories about how they make these millions and then they're stupid and they waste it and they're ending up living in a dumpster a couple of years after their careers are over. But what I'm saying is these thugs that populate the American professional sports leagues, save hockey, would just be gangbangers and petty thieves or maybe even, you know, more violent criminals if it weren't for basketball or, you know, the NBA or the NFL. These people wouldn't have any sorts of careers. Most of them didn't graduate college, and if they even went to college, it's because they got a paid ride because they were athletes. Most of them don't have a seventh grade education. They would never be able to make that kind of money in the real world if it were left to them to go out and pull themselves up and accomplish something without sports. The owners are fine. These players, they're lucky, you know, they wouldn't be making $20 an hour out in the real world. And they're getting paid millions and millions of dollars, in some cases, just to sit on the bench and never even see the floor during a game. What do they have to be upset about? They are lucky they get paid as lavishly as they do. They get far overpaid. They get paid a lot more than they're worth. They don't have any other offers. Now, these owners do. So that's that in terms of my views on these lockouts. The NFL is in the middle of a lockout, a bitter dispute. The NBA is going to be going into one as soon as the playoffs are over. But even still, you know, they just can't help themselves. A former NFL quarterback, Warren Moon, who of course is black, says any criticism of former Auburn quarterback Cam Newton, who is also black, is blatant racism. I bet you didn't see that one coming, did you? Cam Newton, of course, was he's basically a running back who played quarterback at Auburn. He can't pass worth a flip, but that didn't stop him from being the number one overall pick in I think it was last week's NFL draft. Even though they're locked out, they can still draft, apparently. But I have to ask, do blacks have any other card in their deck except for the racism card? The story reads that Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Moon alleged that there is racism coloring the perception of draftee Cam Newton. Moon told CBSSports.com that he is upset by the depiction of Newton, the defending Heisman Trophy winner from Auburn, as being somehow unfit to run an NFL offense. And this is what Moon said, that a lot of the criticism he's receiving is unfortunate and, of course, racially based. I thought we were all past this. I didn't see any other quarterbacks in the draft being criticized by the media or the fans or being called a phony. He's being held to different standards from white quarterbacks. I thought we were all past this stuff about African-American quarterbacks, but I guess we're not. Warren Moon, let me tell you something. Once again, oh, man, you know, you wouldn't be anything. You know, racism, are you kidding me? 50,000 white people paying tickets to see you pass a football around for a couple of hours a week? I mean, you're getting paid, you live in the lap of luxury for the rest of your life, and that is something that white owners and white fans made possible for you, buddy, and yet you still can't get off the whole racism kick. Now, that's you know, hey, that's just another day in America. What am I telling you for? You already know that. But it just kind of gets under my crawl that as much as they're given and as good as America has treated blacks, that they, you know, they still have to complain and moan about every single thing. But that's just my two cents. Lock them out, owners. Lock them out and don't let them play until they're grateful. It won't be long, I promise you. That's all the time we have for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for having you in my audience this evening. Don't forget that I'll be back with you next week, same time, same place here on the Political Cesspool Radio program and the Liberty News Radio Network for my entire staff and crew here in Memphis, Tennessee and in Utah, where Liberty News Radio is based. I'm James Edwards, encouraging you to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. God bless you, everybody, and good night.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.